So as you can see, we are starting a brand new series this week, The Things That God Asks Us. And in this series, these questions are going to invite us into a deeper relationship with God, with ourselves, and with others. Now, our first question today comes from Exodus chapter 3 and 4. And unfortunately, we don't have time to read all those verses in those chapters. So that's your homework for the afternoon. Please take some time and go read Exodus 3 and 4. Read both the chapters. I'm just going to give us four verses from chapter 3 as an introduction, and then another two verses from chapter 4 a little later. So Exodus chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 to 4. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. So our story starts with Moses tending the flock of his father-in-law in the desert. And it's just one of those regular days where Moses is going along doing his own thing and minding his own business. And then all of a sudden, he sees this bush burning. But the strange thing that he realizes is the bush is burning, but it's not burning up. And of course, that catches his attention. And Moses decides to go and see what this strange phenomenon was. So, of course, that's all God wanted. And the moment Moses comes up to the bush, that's when God starts talking to him. And God says, Moses, let me just tell you who I am. Your father knew me. Your ancestors knew me. Abraham knew me and Isaac knew me. Even Jacob knew me. I am God. And I am your God, and you can call me I am who I am. Because you see, Moses, when I call myself I am who I am, it means I will be what I need to be for my people. I will do what I need to do. I will become what I need to become to take care of my people. And that's why I'm here today, because I need your help. I have seen, verse 7, I've seen my people's misery, and I've hear them crying to me, and I've seen their suffering, and it's breaking my heart. So Moses, I need you to come alongside me. I want you to partner with me so we can change this. And then, of course, Moses does the us thing with God immediately. With the us thing, I mean, he immediately starts making excuses. Actually, five of them, and let me translate them into modern day English. Well, I'm just a nobody. I don't know that much about God. What if I fail? I'm not sure I can do that. I'm not sure I'm qualified. And then, of course, the old classic one. Find someone else, because someone else I'm sure can do a better job than me. Now God, of course, he doesn't get put off so easily by all of these excuses. So instead of responding to the excuses, this is when God then asks the question, which is our first question in this series. Exodus chapter 2. Chapter 4, verse 2. And I'm also going to read a little verse 17. Then the Lord said to him, to Moses, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. And then verse 17. So the Lord said, take the staff in your hand so you can perform the signs or the miracles with it. I can't do this. And God asks the question, what is that in your hand? And the moment God asks this, all he's doing is he is focusing Moses' attention to the fact that he actually already has all the resources that he needs to partner with God in his hands. And yes, it was just a staff. And there's nothing wonderful about the staff. But God was going to use this simple staff stick, if you want another word, to liberate God's people. So us, can you imagine the awesome and amazing things that God would be able to do if we used all the resources that are available in our hands to partner with God to change this world? So what do you have in your hand? What do you have? A resource that God can use. And my friends, if we start thinking about all these resources, we'll fill books with them. But you see, it's not as much about what the resource looks like, but if we're prepared to use them. Now, as I say this, I know, as I said, there are many resources, but I also think that there are three resources that each one of us has in our hand. And let me share those with you and see if you agree with me. The first resource I think that each one of us has is our abilities. In other words, the things that we can do really well, the things that I can do really well. And again, they are going to differ from each one of us. Some of us might be good with numbers. Some of us might be good with caregiving. Some of us might be good with counseling. Some of us might be good at helping people. Some of us might be good at teaching people. Some of us might be good at sitting next to someone and just encouraging them. And the list will go on and on and on and on. But each one of us has this ability that can change this world and make it a better place if we are prepared to put this into God's hands and come alongside and partner with God. It's not as much what ability I have. That's not the question. The question is, am I prepared to put this ability into God's hands so that God can use that? So my question is, what is your unique ability that God has placed in your hands that you can do so well? That if you are prepared to say, Lord, here it is, God can use that ability to change this world and make this world a better place. And then the question, are you prepared to come alongside God and to partner with God and then to use this ability to change this world? There's a second thing that I think all of us have in our hands. Not just abilities, but we all have, number two, life experience. And again, that's going to differ. But the one thing that stands out about life experience is that our life experience is that which impacts our lives and the way in which we live our lives. It might be painful experiences. It might be mistakes that I made. It might be my successes. It might be lessons that I've learned. But the one thing that is true of our life experiences is that these life experiences shape me for the life that I am living. And God can use that. And let me show you through the life of Moses how God uses that. Because just think for a minute. There's nothing much that would make God really want to go ask Moses to go lead his people out of Egypt. I mean, just think for a moment that Moses was a fugitive after he killed that Egyptian. And for the last 40 years, he's been tending sheep in the desert, hiding away. So imagine the first line of his resume. Fugitive shepherd with desert experience only, wanting to take care of God's people. Yeah, right, he's going to get the job. But God looks further than that. Because God knows that Moses' life experiences have prepared him for the job that God has for him. Just think of Moses' childhood experiences. He's born, mother saves his life by putting him in the river. Pharaoh's daughter gets him. Where does Moses grow up? In the courts of Pharaoh. He gets the best education. He learns how the courts work of Pharaoh. He gets the opportunity to talk to Pharaoh because it's his grandfather. And he knows how things work, prepares him for life when God will call him to go in and talk to Pharaoh and the doors would open. His life experience. Think of his life experience as he's alone and working in the desert. 40 years, Moses works in the desert with sheep, gets to know the desert, knows how the desert works, knows the dangers of the desert, know how things will function in the desert. And then, not long after that, God will take him and he leads God's people for 40 years. A little more difficult leading two-legged sheep than leading four-legged sheep. But this life experience prepares Moses for the time when he will have to take his people into the desert. Moses' spiritual life experience. Imagine how much time Moses had to be alone in solitude, in silence. And in those moments of solitude and silence, to seek God's presence, to be close to God, to hear God. And it would prepare him for those moments in the desert when they all drove him nuts, that he knew that he could just pull back and be quiet and be with God and in God's presence. And God would use that. Life experience. And God uses his life experience to change people and to change the future of people. What do you have in your hands of your life experience, my friends, that again you can say, this is what I've done. This is how God has prepared me. And what can I do? Lord, here's what I have to give you. How can I come alongside you and partner with you and use my life experience to make this world a better place? There's one more thing I think we all have in our hands. Our abilities, our life experiences, and then number three, I think we all have miracles in our hands. Let me explain. So when God talks to Moses, he asks the question, so what do you have in your hand? Moses says, a staff. And it's just a stick. But yet, God uses that stick to do miracles. It's all he had in his hand, a stick. But that same stick, when he throws it on the ground, it becomes a snake. That same stick, when he hit the water of the Nile, it turned into blood. That same stick, when he hit the water of the Reed Sea, it parted and the people could go through that. That same stick, he whacked the rock twice. He should have only whacked it once. And the water gushed out of that. See, the world only sees a stick. But God sees a miracle. Let me explain something about miracles. See, miracle is God's work in collaboration with our willingness. And you're saying, Aubrey, you're nuts. Let me explain what I mean with it's God's work in collaboration with our willingness. Best example, there's plenty. Let me take you to John 6. So they're on the mountain. Jesus is preaching. People are tired. People are hungry. Jesus says to the disciples, What do we have? What can we do for them? The disciples say, we have nothing, send them home. And there's no miracle. A little boy says, excuse me, I have 5 loaves and I have 2 fish. Do you think you could do something with that? And there's this huge miracle. A miracle comes through a collaboration of God's work and our willingness. And then the miracle happens. So what do you have in your hand? Do you realize that you are one step away from a miracle? All you have to do is to show up, to listen, and to be willing, and to say, here I am, Lord, with what I have in my hand. Use this to do miracles in this world. So here's the question. What do you have in your hand that God can use to change the world? Amen. Pray with me. Oh, Father God, thank you that you do not ask what you don't give. And you have given each one of us so many things that are in our hands that we can use to partner with you and to change this world. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the greatest miracle was you. And you came and you said, now I give you my Holy Spirit. And through you, Holy Spirit, we receive that boldness to say, Lord, I'm not going to make the excuses. Here is what I have, and I am going to give this to you so that I can partner with you. And as we partner together, Lord, you can change the world. And here I am. Use me. Thank you for giving the gifts and then allowing me to use them with you. Thank you for the blessing of this day. Thank you for the challenges that come from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.